We welcome you. We're so grateful that you chose to spend some time with us here. I know we're kind of gathering in a little bit of a different way, kind of a unique way in a unique season, but I think that it is a great reminder that the church is not a building, but that the church is a people. And so even though we're practicing a new word that I learned this week, social distancing right now, this really isn't the time for the church to kind of shrink back or step back, but this is a time for the church of Jesus Christ to stand up and to lean in. This is not a season for us to be driven by fear, but to be driven by faith, hope, and love. And so if you're joining us online for the very first time, we welcome you. Even though the place might be completely empty right now, the Spirit of God has filled it. And we believe that God has such a unique word for you today. And so if you're already watching online, go ahead, share that with some friends and invite them to come and join you. As this week, we're continuing on in our teaching series that we've been in called The One Another's. You know, there's something in the New Testament called the Great Commandment. Jesus talks about it, and we talk about it a lot here at Catalyst Church, but Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment in all of the Bible is the commandment that summarizes all of the other commands, and it's this, that you and I are called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. He says the second greatest commandment is this, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. And so here at Catalyst, we talk a lot about loving God and loving each other and then loving our world. And so in this series, week after week, God has been teaching us so much as we've gone to the scriptures to study something called the one another passages. And the one another passages really is simply this. They are the practical ways that you and I are called to love one another. Remember, love is a verb. Love is an action, so it's something that we do. So when the Bible is talking about loving one another, the Bible also teaches that loving one another is forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. When we've been hurt and we've been sinned against, that love serves one another. The picture is a towel and a basin of water that we would bend the knee and humble ourselves to meet the needs of others, to serve others in Jesus' name. It means also loving one another means showing compassion for one another or encouraging one another. And then last weekend, if you missed last week, encourage you, go online, catalystchurch.com, and you can watch last weekend's message on what does it look like to honor one another. Well, this week we're looking at this essential one another passage. It's a command that is found several times in the New Testament. If you have your Bible, your YouVersion Bible app, you can go ahead and join us, or I believe it's even going to be in the lower third of the screen right there. But Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 says this. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Worthy of the calling that you have received. And then he says, be completely humble and gentle and be patient, bearing one another in love. Bearing one another in love. That's what we're looking at this week. What does it look like to bear with one another in love? It takes humility, it takes gentleness, it takes patience. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says it again. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? The law of Christ is the law of love, that it is that the love of God is so transformed our hearts that it's changing the way that we love one another. The idea here is that the people of God who have experienced the radical, reckless love of God are to be marked by people who bear the burdens of one another. What a timely message. What a perfect time to talk about this. What does it mean to bear the burdens of one another? That word bear means this. It means to cover or to shield or to guard. The word burden means weight or hardship or pressure. Think about that. What would it look like for you and I to cover or to shield or to protect or to guard one another by helping each other when we're under weight or hardship or pressure? John Piper wrote this. He defined burden as this. He says, it is anything that threatens to crush the joy of our faith whether it is a tragedy that threatens to make us doubt God's goodness or a sin that threatens to drag us into guilt and judgment. Think about this. Are there any tragedies lately that you can think of that could threaten to make people doubt the goodness of God? I think COVID-19 is probably a perfect illustration of this. A global virus that has pretty much affected every single aspect of society, every part of our lives. I'm reminded this week again that just this week we experienced a huge tragedy here in Eastern Carolina, and two of our own local United States Marine Raiders were killed in combat in Iraq. Gunnery Sergeant Diego Pongo and one of Catalyst Church's own, Moses Navas. We know and we love Mo so much, and we love his family and his wife and his four kids. And as a church, we've been able to kind of come around them during this difficult, during this hardship, this tragedy, and support them and try in any way that we can to protect or to cover or to shield or to guard their life, to lift them up in the greatest time of tragedy and loss in their life. I believe that this is one of the primary purposes of the church. I don't think we have to think too long to see or to feel the weight of hardship or pressure or difficulty in life. The challenge of this one another is that we would be a people who endure in showing love. It's not something that we just do every once in a while, but that we would be a people, the people of God, would be a people that would love people with long suffering, that we would bear, that we would stand up underneath the weight of their life and help to lighten the load. See, that's what the church is to be about. Not the building, but the people of God. That we would be about this, that we would show grace and make space for others who are going through the most difficult and messy realities of human existence. Bearing one another's burdens. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Bearing one another's burdens is this. It's when we love when it is most needed. When it might be easier to give up or walk away on someone, or to avoid or to disconnect. When it might be easier to leave, the people of God are called to lean in. When it'd be easier to reject or to criticize someone, the people of God are called to be people of grace that we support. Bearing one another's burdens means that we stay in the fight for one another, for the glory of God and the good of those around us. I think it looks like this. It looks as someone that is facing hardship or difficulty, and it says this is, you know what? I see you. I see you. And I care, and I'm here for you, and you're not alone, and I'm in your corner. And if you'll let me, I'll help you carry this weight. You don't have to go through this alone. We're gonna get through this together, that God is going to get the glory in this circumstance, in this hardship, in this difficulty, in this weight that you are experiencing. God is gonna get the glory. See, I believe that Jesus is the ultimate example of what it looks like for someone to bear the burdens of others. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 22, the Bible says this. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened." He says, "And I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." Notice that. I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. The same way that God calls us to bear one another's burdens with humility and gentleness and patience, Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to bear your burdens, and you need to understand that I'll be gentle with you. And I'll be humble in heart. And in me, you're going to find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we looked at this passage just several weeks ago. But if you remember that word yoke, that is a farming word. It's a harness that would go around the neck of an ox, and it would enable that ox to pull a heavy plow or to dig up, you know, or to plow soil or to pull a heavy cart. And what Jesus is saying here is that the yoke of this world is often heavy, don't we know it, and unbearable. And it'll make you weary. and it will weigh you down. But Jesus says, you know what? He says, but I'm with you, and you're not alone. And you don't have to carry this weight by yourself, but you can trust me to carry the burden for you. You can learn from me. And whenever you connect yourself to me, I promise you, in me, you're going to find peace and you're going to find rest. The beauty of knowing that God is carrying my burdens is that I can go to sleep at night knowing that he's still working when I'm asleep, that he's still moving even whenever I don't see him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, Jesus said it this way. He said, cast all of your anxiety and your fear and your worries. He said, the whole of your concerns, cast it all upon me, because this is what I want you to know. I care for you. That Jesus came into the world to bear your burdens. But I think it goes beyond just like bearing our difficulties and our hardships and our tragedies. But Jesus ultimately came into the world to bear the burden of our guilt and our sin. Peter writes this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on that tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. I love this. By his wounds, you have been healed. That Jesus doesn't just love you in your difficult days, but he loved you in your ugliest days. He bore our sin and our guilt on himself on the cross. Think about this, that when you was at your worst, Jesus was at his best. When we were at our worst, he was at his best. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who had no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now think about this transaction, that he took the worst of me and he gave me the best of himself. Think about that. That he took the worst of us, and that was our sin and our guilt and our shame, and he gave us the best of himself, and that is his righteousness. And I believe that's exactly what we are called to do for one another. That when people are at their worst, the people of God should be at their best. Amen? Think about that. That when the people around you are at their worst, you and I, as people of faith, we should be at our best. When everybody is filled with worry and anxiety and stress and fear, we should be filled with faith and hope and trust in the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Like, what does this look like? There's this beautiful picture in Exodus chapter 17. There's this battle going on between the Israelites and the Amalekites. And it says this. It says, as long as Moses' hands were held up in praise to God, the Israelites were winning. But the moment that his arms got too tired to lift them and he lowered his hands, the battle would immediately shift, turn, and the Amalekites would start winning the battle. And so when Moses' arms got tired, the Bible says that two guys named Aaron and Ur came up alongside of him, and each of them held up one of his hands. They came alongside of him, and they held up his arms throughout the battle. They protected him. They shielded him. They helped him stand underneath the weight of the battle, one on one side and one on the other side, holding his arms up when he was powerless to hold them up himself. I got to tell you, everybody needs an Aaron and an Ur in their life. But you know what? You need to be an Aaron or an Ur to someone else in your life. We have an opportunity every single day, whether it's in our home with our family or in our relationship with in our marriage with our spouse or with our kids or maybe with our friends or our neighbors, or if you're part of Catalyst, those in your life group or serve team or possibly the people that you work with, or maybe even the people right now at Walmart or in the parking lot of Walmart or something like that. It's everywhere you look, you're going to find people in this season that are weary and burdened. You're going to find people that are overwhelmed with fear and worries from the battles that they are going through in their life. And I believe this. I believe that God is calling you and I to be an Aaron or an Ur, that would come up alongside of them and help them lift their hands back up in praise. Help with the weight and the struggle, and the, help them to be able to stay in the fight. Help them to keep their hands up in praise and surrender to God. I love this challenge I read this week from John Piper again. He says this, that you and I, that the children of God, that what we should be doing is we should be developing the extraordinary skill of detecting the burdens of others. And then this is what we should be doing. We should be devoting ourselves daily to making them lighter. You want to see hope spring in unhopeless situations. You want to see light burst forth in times of darkness. Then what would it look like for you and I to bear the burdens of one another and devote ourselves to making the burdens lighter in the people around us? This is the command of Jesus. We're called to bear with one another in our circumstances and in our burdens. I mean, you know, bearing burdens is messy. It's difficult. And so the scripture teaches us that we've got to maintain these fruits of the Spirit in our life. We've got to hold on to this when we're dealing in relationship with one another, when we're trying to love someone that's going through something really difficult. The Bible says this again in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Otherwise, look at that. Look at that again. He says, if you're going to bear with one another in love, then you're going to have to stay humble. And you're going to have to stay gentle, not critical, not harsh. And you're going to have to stay patient. Colossians 3:12 says it this way. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. He says, I love this imagery. Clothe yourselves. I got dressed, all right, for tonight. Aren't you glad? And so I put some clothes on. He says, every single day, if we're going to be God's chosen people, if we're going to live this out and love one another, then we've got to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. He says in verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, just keep putting on love. Keep putting on love every single day, every single circumstance, every single opportunity. Just keep putting on the love of God, and it will bind all of these things together in perfect unity. I mean, think about that. Again, I love the imagery there. Clothing yourself with compassion. Clothing yourself with kindness. When it would be easy to just not be kind anymore for somebody that's going through difficulty, or maybe they're in a difficulty because of their own decisions or their own sin or their own rebelliousness. The Bible still says, you know what? What brings people to repentance is the kindness of the Lord that brings people to repentance, not criticism. How many of you know criticism has never changed a single heart? So often we think, you know what? If I just take this stone and chuck it at them, it might wake them up. I don't even know, a stone has never changed a person's heart. Sometimes after we do that, we try another stone, and then we think, well, what I really need is I just need a bigger stone. Maybe a bigger stone would kind of jostle them and wake them up. But again, throwing stones has never transformed a human heart. But the Bible does say that it's the kindness of the Lord that brings us to repentance. It goes on to say, you know what, and stay gentle. Stay gentle. Stay patient. I love this, stay humble. Don't think that you're above that hardship or that difficulty or that feeling that they're feeling or that struggle that they are in. And don't ever think that you're above that sin that they've committed. The Bible says that we are to constantly clothe ourselves with the love of God, and we're called to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. Listen, there's nothing more beautiful than the church who shows grace and makes space for people to be real and in process. If you want to make an impact, Love people when they expect it the least. You want to make an impact? Love people when they need it the most. Would you pray with me today? Father God, I thank you for loving us when we deserved it the least. Thank you for loving us when we were at our worst and pouring into us your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your kindness and your patience. Thank you, Father, for being gentle with us. So, Lord, I pray that we would remind ourselves today that we are called to bear the burdens of one another, that we're called to love one another. Jesus, as you have loved us, that you are the ultimate example of how we are supposed to love. And so, Father, I pray that we would commit ourselves fresh in this difficult time, a time when so many people are filled with so much fear and worry and anxiety, that we as the people of God would say, you know, we're not going to be driven by fear, we're going to be driven by faith. And God, we want to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing. So we want to look for opportunities to be a blessing. We want to be burden bearers. We want to look at people and be able to see what's going on in their life in such a way that we can come up underneath their arms and lift them up so that they might have greater faith and greater hope and greater trust in you. God, continue to fill us with a passion to love people as you have loved us. And we pray this today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.